Once again, friends, good morning and welcome to another Theology Tuesday. And today we're going to be looking at family worship and serving the Lord in our homes. I'm Rocky Stevenson, pastor of Benoni Bible Church, and what a joy it again is to be with you, the Radio Pulpit listeners, here in this brand new year. And good morning, and I do hope that you are looking to the Lord Jesus, that you are growing in grace, and that you are leading your own families towards a wonderful relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope every Tuesday is to really bring theology alive. That's what we've been doing, looking at everyday life theology and bringing truth from the scripture straight into the daily rhythms of our homes. Theology was never meant to remain abstract or even distant. It is always meant to lead us towards faithful living, toward joyful obedience, and a wholehearted devotion towards our Lord Jesus. And today's theme is one of the very most practical. It's foundational. It is God-honoring in its responsibilities we can embrace, which is family worship. And our anchor text comes from Joshua 24, verse 15, where Joshua stands before the people of Israel and declares, "If it is evil in your eyes to serve Yahweh, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh." Joshua 24, verse 15. And Joshua was not only making a personal commitment, he was making a household commitment. He took responsibility for the spiritual direction of his home. And this is where family worship begins. Let's walk through this very simply and biblically, and then talk about how to actually do this in real life. Firstly, let's look at the biblical heart of family worship. Family worship is not a modern idea, nor is it a church program. It is the natural overflow of God's design for every home that seeks to honor Him. Throughout the scriptures, the Lord instructs parents, especially fathers, to teach the word diligently to their children. Now, one of the sad realities is, and this is a Barna study that was conducted on this, that only 5% of evangelical men are actually reading the Bible to their families. That is a disgrace. Let us be those that read the Bible to our wives and to our children as men that are listening even to me today. Deuteronomy 6 verse 6 to 7 says, "These words shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons." This diligence is part of that discipline, the daily discipline of bringing Jesus to bear to our homes and bringing the word of God to our homes. The picture in Deuteronomy is not of lectures or formal classes, not to say that we can't have some of that too. I think it's important as your children even get older to spend even more time with them in this regard. But this is of everyday worship in the life of the home. And when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise, the psalmist praises this type of a pattern. In Psalm 78 verse 4, "You will not conceal them from their children, but recount to the generations to come the praises of Yahweh." In the New Testament, this pattern remains. Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." That's what we're to do. Don't provoke your children to anger. In fact, that implies that if you're not bringing them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, that you are actually provoking your children to anger. You are building your children up in a different way. And remember that the anger of man never produces the righteousness of God. We are to bring our children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. That implies you need to open the Bible, read it. You need to be with your children. You need to be leading them in a heart towards God. Family worship is simply obeying these verses in the normal rhythm of life. It's been disciplined about this. It's been intentional about this. Joshua said, "As for me and my house," he was not only concerned with his personal devotion, but with the spiritual life of everybody that was underneath his care. He took his role as father and as husband seriously. And brothers, we need to take that role seriously to any of the men that are listening. Well, why does family worship matter? Well, let's be honest. Many of us imagine family worship as complicated or time-consuming or intimidating, and we get so distracted with many other things. But the beauty of the biblical family worship is this. It is simple, it is regular, it is intentional, and God blesses it. God blesses your stumbling efforts if only you will try. And here are three reasons why it matters so deeply. Firstly, it is establishing Christ as the Lord in the home. Every single home has a culture. Every home has a center. Family worship places Christ at the very center and the Word of God as the foundation. Secondly, it shapes the next generation. Children learn what their parents love. If we love sport, they learn that. If we love news, they learn that. If we love comfort, they learn that. But if they see us loving Christ, praying, reading, singing, they learn to treasure Jesus. The third reason that this is so important is that it anchors the family in a changing world. We live in days of destruction and of distraction and of instability and of moral confusion. But remember what Psalm 119 verse 105 says? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Family worship helps us to walk through darkness with the light of God's truth. Well, family worship, actually, let's look just for a moment at what family worship really looks like. That's the next thing I want to talk to you about. And here's where we need to keep it wonderfully simple. Family worship is built around three main pillars: pray, read, sing. Let's walk through each of these. Firstly, pray. Prayer does not need to be long or eloquent, just real, honest, dependable. Remember that little acronym ACTS: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That's simple. You can remember that kind of an acronym. You can lead your families in prayer like that. You can adore the goodness of God. You can confess wherever there's sin within your home or within your life, or even yourself as a father, as a parent, as a mother. You can confess. You can be somebody who brings thanksgiving before the Lord with your family. You can be somebody that brings supplication, the specific needs that your family has before God. You can thank God for something specific. You can ask for help with something real in your family. You can pray for someone outside of your home, your church, a missionary, a neighbor. At Benoni Bible Church, we have 5 missionaries. We pray for those 5 missionaries in our home, in our family Bible time. We have 2 baby homes that we support. We pray for the babies in those baby homes within our home family worship time. You can pray. You can pray for the church family. There's always those that are sick, those that are elderly, those that are ailing within your own local church that you can pray for. There's family members that need to be saved. You can pray for them at home. Jesus spoke of simple prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, and his model prayer is less than 30 seconds when spoken out loud. It is the heart that matters, not the length of our prayers. Secondly, read. So not just pray, but read. And this is the heartbeat. Simply read a portion of the scriptures, a chapter, or even a few verses. It's actually that simple. Remember Paul's instruction to the church in 1 Timothy 4 verse 13, give attention to the public reading of the scriptures. If Timothy was to do this in the church, we can do this in our homes. You don't need a commentary. You don't need to explain everything. You don't need to have an answer for every question. Just read a passage. Ask one or two simple questions. Here's 2 simple questions you could ask with your family. What does this teach us about God? And then, what does God want us to do in response to what we've just read? Those are 2 very simple questions. You don't have to be massively theological about it. You can just read the Bible to your family and make it part of your pattern. Over time, the scripture becomes familiar. It becomes loved. It becomes treasured in your home. Your family begins to know the Bible better. You can then also sing. That's the last one that I'd want us to look at. Sing. Singing may feel awkward at first, but it should not be. Throughout the scriptures, God's people are singing people. Psalm 92 verse 1 says, it is good to give thanks to Yahweh and to sing praises to his name. Colossians 3 verse 16 says believers should teach one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So a simple chorus, a psalm, a hymn that you know, just one song. I mean, we're so fortunate, or let's say so blessed in our day. You have something like YouTube and you can type there congregational hymns or congregational singing. Congregational singing, of course, is the best kind of a singing for us as Christians, because many, many times today, many songs are very performance driven. And that I think is something that is a contrary to what we find scripturally. But find some of the congregational hymns. Get yourself a hymn book. We at our home have 2 hymn books. And we love to take some of the songs that we were going to sing on a Sunday. Our church publishes that on our church's notifications group. And I love to take that, some of those songs and sing it with my children. I don't expect too much from my youngest children. I do expect from my six-year-old that he's at least able to sing the choruses that we have. So if you get to the chorus of a hymn, I'd like him to be able to sing the chorus. I expect my eight-year-old to get to know at least maybe the first stanza or the first lines in that song, and then the chorus as well in the last verse. So he gets to learn a little bit more. Children remember what they sing long after they forget what they hear. So teach your children the hymns. Singing fixes the truth into the heart. It's helpful for us to learn theology even by the hymns that we sing. How do we begin this? Maybe you haven't been doing family worship. How could you begin it even this week? Here's a simple practical plan that anybody could do. Even busy families, even tired parents, even homes just starting out. Here's step one. Choose a time that you can keep. Right after supper, or right before bed, or right after breakfast. Choose a time that you can keep with your family. For my family, we do this right after supper. I think it's important for a family to have supper at a supper table, not on the couch before the TV. It is good for a family to sit together around the table, and we will get the Bible out right after supper time. That's the best time that we found for our family. Of course, this changes sometimes. We sometimes have to do this at different times, but you can be flexible with that. But try and find a time that is most suitable for you and your family to do this. Consistency is more important than length. There are times as a pastor that I need to have a shorter Bible time with my family, where I'm busy, or where I'm heading to a leaders meeting, or where I'm leading to a prayer meeting. And even if it's 5 minutes, I will still have Bible time with my family every day, except for Sundays. Sundays is a day that we go to church in the mornings and in the evenings, and that's a Sunday that the Sunday we don't have our usual Bible hour or Bible time as a family at home. Step two is to keep it short at first. Maybe if you're just starting out, start with 5 to 10 minutes. You can always grow from there. And step three, use a simple pattern. Pray for a minute, read a few verses, sing one song, and then you're done. That's a simple pattern. You can always build on that if you wish. We as a family like to have a time on a Saturday where we sing a little bit more extensively together, where we pray a bit more extensively together, and have that as part of our pattern. You can build these things in. It's your family. You can do it your way in that sense. And then also expect some form of resistance, but keep on going. Children may wiggle, parents may even feel somewhat self-conscious, schedules may get messy, but habits form over time. Grace grows in consistency, and the Lord blesses those who seek His face. So I want to encourage the fathers and the parents. Joshua's words are courageous. As for me and my household, we will serve Yahweh. He did not wait for someone else to lead his family. He took up the responsibility. Fathers, husbands, your roles matter in your home. But mothers, grandmothers, single parents, be encouraged. If you are the one that is leading, God sees, God knows, and He honors your faithfulness. God delights to work through ordinary faithfulness by His people. He loves to bless homes where His word is opened and His name is praised. Psalm 127 verse 1 reminds us, unless Yahweh builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Family worship is simply saying, Lord, build this house. A house that serves the Lord is a marvelous house. So as we close this Theology Tuesday, remember this. Family worship is not complicated. It is not formal. It is not a burden. It is simply choosing day after day to bring your household before the Lord with three simple steps. Pray, read, sing. And behind that simplicity lies something powerful. Lives that are shaped by the Scriptures, hearts that are drawn to Christ, and a home that is built on the rock. So take Joshua's words seriously today. As for me and my household, we will serve Yahweh. Amen.